Well, it's another grand and fine day out there. Today is August 24th, 2021. I'm Pastor Justin, and welcome to the Chadron Berean Church podcast. Today I've got a devotional for us. I know it's been a while since I've done one of these, but it's been a pretty busy summer. But we just got started with all of our fall ministries, getting those kicked off, and I thought I would start up with another devotional, get back into the swing of things that way. So today's devotional is called Building Others Up. We were made for relationships, period. How can that be said so confidently? Well, because deep down, we all desire close, intimate relationships with other people. The majority of our secular songs, I think, reveals this. Most of those songs, 90% of them, are written about relationships that are either sweet or have gone wrong. And I think the fact that so many songs sing about relationships reveals the human heart's desire for them. But even more concrete than that, Scripture says so. Genesis 1:27 says, "We are made in God's image, and God is by his very nature a relational being." I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but God is by his very nature relational. Because since before the creation of man and angels or any other created thing, God has always been existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all existing in perfect fellowship, harmony, and community with one another. And really, if you think about it, no other singular monotheistic God can explain why we are relational. We're relational because we're made in God's image and he's a triune being. But then on top of that theological reality is the reality that as believers in Christ, we're all interdependently connected to one another in Christ's body. Ephesians talks a lot about that. Ephesians 4:16 talks about it just before the verse I'm going to get to that. Talks about how we can have good relationships. But as image bearers and as members of Christ's body, we are then to reflect that. We're to reflect the triune harmony and the oneness of Christ's body in our relationships. But how? I mean, how are we to put this theology into practice? How do we apply theology, the theology we believe about God and about Christ? Well, one of the ways is given in the New Testament through godly communication. Relationships require godly communications. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul emphasizes unity, saying, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Let no unwholesome word proceed out from your mouth, but," and here's the contrast, "only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." So this is really a critical word of wisdom that I don't think we put enough thought into in our day-to-day operations of living. I mean, think about how critical godly communication is to a relationship. Without communication, a relationship really doesn't even exist. I mean, if you don't talk to God, you don't really have a relationship with him. If you don't talk to your, I don't know, somebody, you don't really have a relationship with them. And relationships can exist, but if the communication is poor, if you don't have godly communication, it's going to suffer. The relationship's going to suffer. Without what Paul calls wholesome words, our relationships will suffer. Unwholesome, the word that he uses there, "let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth," that word is often used in relation to fruit. Like in Matthew 12:33, Jesus says that you'll know them by their fruits, all right, good or bad fruit. That's the word there, bad fruit. It can basically mean rotten or harmful. "Let no rotten or harmful word proceed from out of your mouth." So our unthoughtful, harsh, degrading, slanderous, and other heartless words can cause relationships to rot and remain unhealthy, unhealthy for us. And so without intentionality in the use of our tongues, though, that honestly seems to be our natural bent. We find it so much easier to criticize someone than to commend them, and to put others down than to praise them. A young lady once told John Wesley that she thought her talent was to speak her mind. And Wesley replied, I don't think God would mind if you buried that talent. I thought that was pretty hilarious. You might want to bury that talent. That's one talent that God wouldn't mind doing away with. Sometimes it's better to bite the tongue until it bleeds than to ruin the relationship and the testimony of Christ that you carry. Human relationships are difficult in the fallen world, and they require effort. And that means thinking before we speak, not just speaking our mind. But in contrast to the word rotten is the word edification. It's a construction term that means to build up or to strengthen. Our minds can rightly think of construction workers who are framing a house. We can build others up like a house being built up by the use of our words. Words that build up are words of grace. Another great passage for the tongue is Colossians 4:6. It says our speech should be seasoned with salt, and that means it should have a preservative effect on our relationship. That's how they used to preserve meat back in the day before we had refrigerators and freezers, and that's how I preserve my taxidermy hides when I'm getting ready to send a hide to the tannery. I'll salt them, and salt takes the moisture out of it, and kind of like what they do with jerky and meats and fish. It has a preservative effect on things, and it enhances the flavor, meaning it should enhance our relationships as well. It prevents them from rottenness, and it prevents them from decay, and it makes them sweet. I guess you could say it's a sweeter relationship. It just tastes better with salt on it. But in 1994, there's a good example of this. Thomas Thurman, he was the running back for the Buffalo Bills, and he sat with his face in his hands on the bench after his team had just lost its fourth straight Super Bowl loss. And the reason he was so upset was because, not just because of the loss, it was because his three fumbles had helped seal the loss. And so he's sitting there just, you know, with his hands over his face, and then suddenly coming up to him was Emmitt Smith, the Dallas Cowboys running back, the running back from the opposing team, who had just been voted most valuable player of that Super Bowl. And Smith has got his goddaughter in his arms, holding his goddaughter, and he says to her, I want you to meet the greatest running back in the NFL, Thomas Thurman. Isn't that crazy? Emmitt Smith comes up to him, this man who just fumbled three times, and it was his opponent, and he says, I want you to meet the greatest running back in the NFL, Mr. Thomas Thurman. Yeah. Don't you love that? Don't you love it when speech is gracious like that, intentionally aimed at building someone else up? I mean, that stands out in a world where there's so many heartless comments, spoken or typed, to tear others down. I can remember an occasion in my life years ago when someone graced me with their speech. I was grilling brats and hot dogs for friends and family, but I let them cook a little too long, you could say. And as everyone was filling their plates and sitting at the table and scraping the char off of their brats and hot dogs, I started to apologize, and someone interrupted me. A Christian lady, filled with the Spirit. She interrupts me as I'm apologizing, and she says gently with a smile, they're perfect. Thank you so much for cooking. I mean, I couldn't even finish my apology. She just says, they're perfect. Thank you for cooking. You know, that food did not taste the best, but I never forgot that taste of grace. How can you build someone up today with gracious words? Think outside the box as you go to answer that question. People are used to happy birthdays, and they're used to congratulations, but how about thanking others for doing the simplest taken-for-granted tasks something that people really never get told thank you for. How about washing the dishes or taking out the trash? How about writing a note of encouragement or pointing something out about another person that makes them a unique blessing? You see, speech like that, it's not only going to enhance your relationships, it's going to honor Christ and his body, and it's going to honor the triune nature of God.